Extra Points is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook. You bet, you get with Caesars Rewards. You must be 21 or older.
Welcome to Extra Points. Now here's your host, Cousin Sal, and his good, good pals, Dave Damashek and Martin Weiss.
All right, welcome to the Extra Points podcast, part of the Extra Points podcast network, powered by Omaha Audio. Cousin Sal coming to you on a Wednesday morning. Spaghetti and meatballs fiddling with the knobs. Babyface Joel Solomon producing this mess. And joining me, as always, my dear, dear pals, Dave Damashek, Martin Weiss. Lots going on. We got football free agency just won't end. I refresh to see if my team has any players left. And March Madness. And by the way, I thought about this, Sheck and Martin. This might be the week where people, fans in general, are most full of crap. In between the free agency in football and pretending to know players, second rate players that are signed and deciding that this is going to make or break your team, A and B, the March Madness, like, okay, you're basing your knowledge. And listen, I'm at fault too. I bet all these games, so I think I know a little more than the average fan, but people really, really digging in hard about how they know a 3 seed is going to win or a 1 seed is going to lose or something. Really, I think it's the most full of crap week of the year, Sheck.
I think you're onto something there. Listen, we have, first of all, you're exactly right. With NFL free agency, everybody is very concerned about dollar amounts and what this means for the cap. Yeah. And what about the dead money and everything else? Hey, spoiler alert, you don't understand it. Leave that to the math whizzes who are capologists. Next, very specifically to my fandom, I see a lot of people. I'm a Steelers fan. I've mentioned that before, right? Yeah. I have. Yeah,
no,
I'm almost positive. Come on. Okay. But a lot of people, the Steelers sign Cole Holcomb from the Washington Commies. Oh, the fan base. They don't know if Cole Holcomb is a three down linebacker. Is he going to be good? What the hell do you know? You don't know. How about this? You don't know who Cole Holcomb is. How about that as the answer? Another very specific one. The Pitt Panthers. Hail the Pitt. They beat the Mississippi.
All right. We'll get the Mississippi State Bulldogs. Yes.
But before the game, a lot of Pitt fans weighing in about whether or not they like this matchup against Mississippi State and what they do on the interior versus. What the hell do you know? Have you watched Mississippi State? No, then you don't have any insight in this game. I couldn't agree with you more.
Just as annoyed by you when they announced that Federico didn't even play. I said, this is a guy who Damashek was screaming about in January, like a Monday after a playoff weekend. And he's not even going to play in the play-in game, but they ended
he got
shame
hurt.
On
what
you, but
you
they ended up winning.
Not like they sat him down because he was ineffective.
But I knew it wouldn't matter then. And it didn't matter now,
no,
but anyway, they are moving on.
Did you watch
on.
The game? Then you should know the lack of Federico loomed large. I can't believe they
won
that game.
I have not seen a wide open three. I don't know if you saw, Martin. Mississippi State had the widest open three you'll ever see to win a game, and they missed it. I mean, really. It was like everybody else left the court. It was like, this is all on
you. This shoots so like 25% from three for the year. Like, doing my March Madness cramming, that was the one stat I feel like, wow, Mississippi State is the worst three-point shooting team in the nation. That's remarkable.
You see, you're full of crap. You don't know anything about Mississippi. No,
that was
kidding.
It. Well, that was the one fact that I knew.
Whether you know or not, go to extrapoints.com/arcade. Play our Mortgage Madness bracket and do it and fill it out. Fill out the whole thing. But really just focus on the first two rounds, because if you get through the first two rounds, through the Sunday games, perfect. I will pay your rent/mortgage for a full year. For a full year, Sheck, who should I be worried about just in terms of extra point staff? Everybody joined. I have to root against Hench the most, right? I mean, he's sitting in a castle.
I know it's a lame joke, but it also happens to be true that the person who knows the least in office pools always is right there at the end of things, somehow improbably. So I guess that's Eddie Spaghetti. He announces he doesn't watch college basketball, so I think he's the dangerous guy to watch out for. At large, though, as I hilariously quipped on social media already, I hope Dan Snyder wins. I think it would be super fun if he had to pay his mortgage.
I do, too. I do too. I would suspect maybe somebody would step up. Some kind of sponsor would step. Although, well, that is a hefty amount, Martin. Martin, you looking forward to me paying your mortgage? Just get the first two rounds right. How hard is that?
You know, as I sit here at extrapoints.com/contest, March Madness, and I'm looking at it.
Yeah.
Sal, I think I have the answer key right here.
You got
it? So.
Oh, no.
I mean, I'm looking at it. I like every pick I've made so far on this bracket.
Oh.
All of them. Every one.
Really?
He's going Broadway Joe
right,
on
now
you.
I'm scared.
He's going Broadway Joe.
I know I have to come. Well, listen, eventually some Russian hacker is going to figure this out and, submit 55,000 brackets and I'm going to have
now
to
wait
pay
a
somebody's
second. You're
mortgage.
You're burying
but,
the lead
it's fun
here.
For
now,
now
people can't see your
what
hat
is it?
That you're wearing there, Sal.
What
the,
is it?
The big event is
Jimmy
I may
Kimmel
jump
Live?
In
what
the car
it?
Right now and beat you to Vegas so I can see you at the Kimmel Comedy Club. You.
Yes.
And Harry, don't be scared away. There will be room enough for other human beings. and Mikey Meatballs.
I hope there isn't. I hope there's a lot of people that, yes, me, Harry, Mikey Meatballs will be there. We're hosting a watch party at Kimmel Comedy Club for the day games all day Thursday, all day Friday. We're going to be playing. It's staggered tip-offs, kind of like what we did for the NBA. What was that? Was it a... Which holiday was it? They had every game on the Monday.
Yeah, right. What was that?
I forgot
holiday.
What they did. And so... No, was it Martin Luther King? It was a Monday, wasn't
no,
it?
It
might have been
MLK.
Yeah, I think it was. But anyway, we staggered a tip off every 30 minutes and we played Race to 10 and it was great. And I'm going to give $10 out to everyone who's there to participate with us, root us on, root the teams will root. Oh, it's going to be 16 games nonstop back and forth. Well, there is a stop between Thursday and Friday. So that's it. Kimmel Comedy Club Thursday and Friday. Thank you for bringing that up. Sheck, we're heading out tonight for that. And yes, I should mention with that extra points, it's not just perfect. You could win the whole thing and you get $1,000. So that's good. And as far as the staff goes, Sheck, I put a little twist in there. Whoever does best in a staff competition gets to choose the consequence for whoever does worse. So it's spaghetti choosing for... Anybody would be funny if he wins the whole day, right? I mean, I'm trying to think the best matchup there for somebody choosing a consequence.
I don't know if everybody listens to every second of every show that Extra Points points out all the staff, but let's just keep this amongst ourselves. You can play it safe.
Okay.
And I don't like to say this with Eddie Spaghetti listening in here and people like that who don't know what they're looking at here. But if you just go chalk, you're not going to finish last,
yeah,
right?
Right. Well, listen, I would hand out at Jimmy Kimmel Live. I hosted the pool or whatever. I ran the pool there for many, many years. And I would try to get everyone in. The ladies and accountant who hadn't played, watched basketball all year. I was like, listen, yes, fill out the number ones and have the lower seeds go as far as you can. And you'll have as good, if not better chance than anyone else. And sometimes they listen and sometimes they didn't, but ultimately they won.
Let's figure out odds on who is going. We know Megan Gailey from Megan Fun of Sports, of course.
Yes.
Is a Purdue person. And gets over her skis. She's one of those people who you get on me about making fun bets on behalf of my team. I don't make the bet if I think my team's going to lose. She will blindly bet PU to her detriment, probably. So that's one edge. If you want to distinguish yourself from one competitor against the Blue.
I see. Okay.
I'm pretty sure Megan Gailey did pick the Jeff Saturday led Indianapolis Colts.
That's
every
right.
single week in the extra points.
Well, what was that? 3 weeks? How long was he there?
He was 1-8.
Was he there 5 weeks? Oh, was he that long?
1-7, 1-8.
Oh, man.
Coach almost 10
games. I can't even. Oh, that's why they're making all these moves. All right. So let's hear it, Martin. Your final four. Let's get right to it.
I'm going with Alabama. I'm going with Duke. I'm going with Houston. In Kansas.
All right.
So pretty scratch except for Duke. I think Duke can make a run.
Okay, so you have 3 ones and Duke is a 5.
Yeah.
Interesting. Now, there's so many great storylines. Even if you don't know Sheck, right? Duke a 5 seed, Gonzaga a 3. These teams are typically 1 and 2 seeds, right? Are they properly rated? Are they overrated? Are they underrated? That's the big story. Alabama looks so slick, and they have the problematic player there who everyone seems to be rooting against, and Miller. You know, Houston has the injury. Is it enough for them to overcome? Kansas, what are they going to do? Could they repeat? They certainly have the horses, but they lost in their conference tournament. Check. Let's hear your four.
It is wild in an overarching way. Listen, full disclosure, no jive to you or to the man in the mirror. Pro football, college football, NHL, they all, you know, children running around my home. They all add up to being too much of a distraction for me to understand the entire world of college basketball 2023. So I'm frankly more or less skimming the surface like you just did there. By the way, UCLA has a big injury as well. As an homage to you, I just put them down because I really do think we have to perpetuate this against Joe Lenardi, capologist or bracketologist next year. Sal's notebook is going to be my North Star going forward. I created a little mini one here. My final four is Marquette plus 400 to get to the final four. Arizona,
nice,
cutting down the nets, but to the final four plus 400. You go Kansas. That's the one chalk, rock chalk, Jayhawk. Mm-hmm. A number one seed always gets to the final four. That's going to be my pick there. KU at plus 320. And then here's my fun bet. The Indiana Hoosiers plus 1300 to get to the final four.
you just made fun of Megan Galley for being a homer. And at least it's for a one seed. And you're taking the Hoosiers.
So what? I'm allowed to make a fun bet. There you have it. Go against me if you want.
I want you to actually put some real money behind some of these fun bets. And then we see how fun they become.
Okay, let's see how fun it is. You know what isn't fun? What's a nightmare? For me,
what's that?
And it could conceivably happen, probably won't, but could happen. Pitt, Indiana Hoosiers. They could square off. I think I would lean Pitt in my heart and my gut, but that's a decision that can only be made once the game. My eyes and my heart and my gut will tell me that
you got to go Pitt. Those guys are 35 years old. Yeah, they have nothing left after this. What are they going to do? they can't. They're very old men on that team. All right, I think I have a nice mix of what you guys have. I also have Marquette. I love that for the region at 4-1. They are an underrated squad right there, but that is a tough. Tough bracket to pick out at 4-1. But at 4-1, that's my best value for a region. I'm going Alabama too. Just too smooth, gliding to the everything you want to see in a team. And they have momentum. So that's going to be another Final Four team. Kansas, another Final Four team. Again, tough to repeat. Self is day to day, but really you have a great point guard. You have a great shooter in Grady Dick, whether you like him or not. You have Jalen Wilson. You got the All-American. So, and I actually like that they lost in the Big 12 championship better. I think they got a chip on the jaw.
Me too. I think it favors them. I think it very subtly helps them if you look at the different regions that by virtue of them winning the SEC, Bama is the true number one for what you think. Like, what's the difference with that sort of thing? But look at the bracket. KU has a favorable region, it feels like to me. I think they, when you get very cozy with like, that looks like they should win the first three or four with relative ease, then that's the team that's going to lose. That notwithstanding, I'm with you. Jayhawks. I just contradicted myself 17 times.
I mean, it's tough. What are they? I mean, I think actually that's the toughest of all regions because they have Gonzaga. Yeah, Gonzaga, UCLA, UConn's in there too, right? Yeah. So that's 1-4. That's tough. I mean, you know, Gonzaga, if they're not rated correctly, that could be a
yeah, but keep in mind,
right,
see, when you float Texas, those teams though, that's the thing with the brackets, is they're not going to get UCLA and Gonzaga. They're going to get the survivor of that one. So that's, you've already eliminated one of those two out.
Right. But the survivor of that one will look really good at that point what I'm thinking. But I know what you're saying. But Texas A&M is my fourth. Oh, okay. I think they look good in that SEC tournament. They really were on fire until they met Alabama, who might be the best in the nation. But Buzz Williams, I think 14 appearances. He makes this one count. That's my final four. I think if you parlay those, you get 503-1. Kansas, Texas A&M, Alabama, Marquette. Martin, who cuts down the nets?
I think it's Alabama. And former Romulus high school head coach Nate Oates, who I actually played against in high school. I think it would be Alabama. Like the bad guys of college basketball are going to be be cutting down the nets at the end of the day, and there will be people falling over themselves talking about how Alabama has suffered through so much this season and struggled so much and overcame such adversity to and the whole time we're going to have a disgusting feeling and taste in our mouth, but Alabama is going to win this thing.
What a great eight game that would be, Bama against Arizona, if both would survive that. That's the one everybody would look at. That's it. Yeah. And then Bama going the Final Four. I check. Who wins it all?
Yeah, well, he's in the right region there. You just said it. I'm going with my cool cats. I think that they cut down the nets ultimately. I go the other side of the coin on Alabama. I legitimately think this dark story, they've gone through it, and it feels like they've sort of, I don't want to say transcended it. It's a little glib about somebody's life, but anyway, I think they've come through it, but I think it's going to heat up more for them. The deeper they go, they're in Alabama and it's, they get plenty of media attention, but as they go deeper into the tournament, the more you're going to be asking 20-year-old kids about this ugly stuff that doesn't have to do with basketball. And I just think it serves as a distraction. Give me the cats to cut, not just to survive the region, but to cut down the nets ultimately. 12-1 is what you get for that.
Tate Frazier came on both our shows, said he likes the cats, but also he had North Carolina and Illinois as preseason picks. So I don't know what to think of him. I don't know. Maybe we ask Mark Titus what he feels. No. But no, listen, Kansas, I'm going, I think I said already, Kansas to repeat. I had Houston. I think he asked me the other day. I said, Houston, I had them preseason. I'm going to stick with them. But I read about the Sasser injury and how much value he has towards his team. He's a wooden finalist, 17 points a game, 44% from the field. I know Jamal Sheed and their physicality could lead them far, but I don't like it. I have Kansas over Marquette in the finals. They have a whopping 17 quad one victories, fourth best defensive efficiency. And like I said, an All-American in Wilson, DeJuan Harris, as good a point guard as you're going to find, and Grady Dick. I know people hate him, but lights out shooter. They rallied behind Bill Self, who I said was day-to-day. Probably see him this weekend, I'm thinking, against Arkansas or Illinois. Give me Kansas at 10-1. Now, Caesars has these other futures bets. It's a lot of fun. Did you get to look at these, Martin?
I took a look at some of them. Which one?
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to read off all of them. I don't know. But if there was anything that jumped out at you, Sheck, you too. I don't know. To me, it's like, I think you could take a nice chance with Duke at +150 to reach the Sweet 16. They have almost their odds on almost every team to reach the Sweet 16 or not make it. And you got to credit the coach Shire. I mean, somehow he's won more games in his first season than any Duke or ACC coach in history. That's crazy, Shaq.
Yeah.
And they're coming off 9 straight wins. What's not to like about this? +150.
There are a lot of fun ones. You know I love the fun ones. And they're all over the board here again on Caesars. But like the specifics are everything. Like you can bet on, I love the will a 14 seed win a first round game kind of bets. I like those ones a lot because we get seduced by the idea of like, well, we know that an 11 seed always is going to advance to the Sweet 16. Yeah, but the trick is which one of those? You can't just pick them all or else your bracket will be busted. These are the kind of fun bets that are fun to make there. I think you do go with something like, it's -110 there on the board to pick a 14 seed to win a first round game. That's a fun play. That's not a killer. Ergo, like I said, definition of a fun bet.
Ooh.
So you don't have to know anything about Kennesaw's. You don't have to know anything about anything, but rather except to just be pulling for an underdog. That's what the tournament's all about, especially the first round. So I think those are the ones.
Yeah, the 12s beat the fives. Usually, have two of the four 12s typically beat the fives.
And
11-6,
11 is always pretty deep. And to that point, you don't get much juice for doing something like that.
But yeah, I don't know if they even have that. I think they're going to
go 12-5. Right.
But yeah, so if you have a 14 seed, what is what's it? Well, 14 seed win.
It's -110 to win there. And if you go with a 12 seed to win a first round game. Yes, there that's not much fun. See, now Sal, the don't pass line better must love the 12 seed. Why don't you do that one? +360.
Well, Well, I do that. Yeah, I could do that. Yeah, but the other way, I go the other way. Will all the ones and two seeds win? And you have to lay a lot of wood for that.
I know.
Right?
I've been thinking about that. You're this guy like forever, who for 20 something years has been telling me, like, I remember very early on in our relationship, you telling me about like that you bet all the favorites in the first round of the NHL playoffs. So the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Yeah, that's not happening anymore.
I know, but it was crazy when you would do it. It was like you were the John Turturro character in Rounders. You were just trying to nickel and dime your way to paying your rent month after month, kind of a thing. You know, I was like,
right. And now I'm paying everybody else's rent. Yeah, I know. But this tournament goes sideways.
Fun doing it that way.
It's no fun, but you know what? I'm so weathered over the years. I don't like rooting for bad quarterbacks. I don't like rooting for bad point guards. I'd rather have the eight best and take my chances. And it's not a great payday. It's not a big aha moment for me, but I just, that's just the way I visualize it. Right. I've just been beat. You just don't like needing some a-hole quarterback
guy.
It's like throw a touchdown the fourth quarter.
It goes
quarter.
To our old conversation. Thing in sports that appeals to you, that rises to the top of the list for you, is you love the math of it. You love working the numbers of
it. I do.
For me, it's all visual stuff. You know, I love the uniforms and the look of the aesthetics and everything. That is it for me.
I know. You can't make money off of that, unfortunately. All right. So just to put a pin in your 14 seeds, Kennesaw State would have to beat Xavier, or Grand Canyon would have to beat Gonzaga. I mean, these are sexy picks. Like people like these, at least on the spread. But we're talking money line here for a 14 seed to win. Montana State would have to beat Kansas State, or Cal Santa Barbara, who's been tough, would have to beat Baylor.
You want a fun bet tournament. I know this is crazy, and we don't know. And I talk about a humongous homer play here. I can't tell you much about the Cyclones. I've watched them play maybe 60 minutes total of basketball, but I like Pitt Panthers. I like the story. I like the actual. I don't just like them in my heart. I mean, I like them to be able to that game. If you watch that one,
they struggled to score 60 yesterday. They almost scored a 6-point lead with a minute and a half left.
You know what?
All right.
Them at +4 against Iowa State. I like a great deal because I think a lot of people like you probably got your first, by the way, the broadcast team also, that was the first time they ever watched Pitt basketball this season. It was abundantly clear. They had no idea what they were looking at, but that was a great game. That to lower the expectations. We're getting hyper specific about a team that's going nowhere. But Pitt.
No, you are. No, we're just listening. We're just waiting for it to end. Yes. Yeah.
But for the record, that old man stuff that they got going out there, they have so many shooters out there. The problem was for them, not just Federico not playing, but Jamarius Burton, who's their best player, was in foul trouble for basically the entire game. He's the difference maker for them ultimately, then surrounded by 3-point shooters. I think they have a chance as long as they don't get into foul trouble, or he doesn't get into foul trouble again. They can make a little bit of hay. Watch that team go to the Sweet 16.
All right. Okay.
I'm just telling you, a Sweet 16 team. Yes, my opinion. I'm telling it to you.
Spaghetti, I think, I'm sorry, I'm seeing this late, but I think this is in reference to him saying you don't watch any college basketball.
Correct.
Spaghetti, but what's
that
your
was
comment?
That was exactly it. Sheck's like, I don't watch any college basketball. I was like, I want to know how many college basketball games Sheck has watched if Indiana or Pitt is not playing.
Good question.
Those are two. Yeah. Well, that's not true, but I mean, that's an exaggeration, but you're like, no, you're exactly right.
He called himself.
That's exactly right. I mean, but I'm watching a lot of Big Ten and ACC ball, right?
I guess, with those teams, I guess. Yeah. All right, Martin, did you see anything you like in the miscellaneous on Caesars?
It was interesting here. I know we were talking about Megan Gailey earlier. Purdue under 2.5 tournament total tournament wins is juiced -160. Like, they don't think Purdue is going very far. The West Coast Conference, under 3 wins total, +115.
Right.
That's interesting to me because I think TCU's got a chance to bounce Gonzaga in the second round. You know, I see that. Now, probably would make more money if you just bet on the outright game. You know, it seems like I bet that TCU would be a more than +115 underdog. But those are the two that jumped out. from on first glance was under three wins for the West Coast Conference, and then Purdue under 2.5. Yeah,
I like these. This is the Tate Frazier thing that we were talking about. That's on -3 a week ago. Is do you fade in an entire conference or support one?
Right.
He said the Big Ten is the one to fade. Under 7.5 is +120. That's kind of fun.
I love it all. I love it. They have every, like you said, Martin, the conference, yes, over-unders for each. Will a one seed win? Will a two seed win? You could go, I've been staring at this bracket for many. I might just have to propose eventually here. Eddie, give me that ring. Is Jada done with that ring? I'm going to propose to my bracket here. I'm staring at it so long. It's insane. It's insane how bad he could go with all this stuff. All right. And also, I know you don't like it, check, but no buzzer beaters Thursday, Friday.
I mean, that's -140. It's just the ultimate stinker.
Yes,
it really is. Go.
Ultimate cash. Four years in a row.
Have a great time in Vegas.
Odds don't change.
You can find Cousin Sal. Go spot him somewhere in a nearby casino. Whatever casino is closest to the Kimmel Comedy Club. When he's not in there cheering for no buzzer beaters, you'll find him at the craps table betting on the don't pass line.
That's right. Exactly. And maybe if you come say hi, I'll stuff your pockets with cash that I won from those specific bets you talked about. I love it. I love it. All right. Now, I mentioned there's a lot of football action. Let's come back and talk through it. Spoiler alert, you're not going to win every bet you place. But with Caesars Sportsbook, win or lose, every bet gives you reward credits and tier credits, which you can exchange for the best perks in the game. Hotel stays, VIP experiences, sports and concert tickets, and more. Download the Caesars Sportsbook app and start earning with Caesars Rewards.
If you have a gambling problem, in Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed to Horseshoe, Bossier, City, and Harris, New Orleans. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harris, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER, which is 1-800-426-2537, or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPENY or text HOPENY 467-369.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
All right. Wow. So I can't even keep up with the NFL free agency here. And I forgot the fact that it overlaps with March Madness is maddening, to be honest with you. But I have like 15 things I want to discuss here. My Cowboys are really at the top of the list when you talk about big moves here. First of all, it hasn't happened yet officially, but they're cutting Zeke Elliott, which I heard whispers of. And then I'm like, oh, this doesn't make sense. And then, Sheck, you talk about the money and trying to figure out the money. And it's like, well, they save $5 million if they cut him outright, but they save $10.6 million if he becomes a post-June 1st casualty. It's like, oh, why don't they do that? They should definitely try and do that. But Zeke is going to be gone. He really, 833 yards per carry went down every single year. I appreciate what he did, except for he handcuffed the franchise now with this big contract just to become a goal line back, essentially. But that's what's good. And listen, they gave him another chance too. They're like, all right, you're not good at running back. Let's see. Try your hand at center. He got blown up, Sheck. Martin, you remember last play of the game against the 49ers got destroyed.
That was so, my
They try to put him somewhere.
It's amazing to think that that is how the Dallas Cowboys chapter of Ezekiel Elliott's life will end, is on that play.
That's his last snap. Yeah. Like, but anyway.
He was so good.
Martin, you want him for the Saints?
He was so good.
You want to take him? I know he was great. He was terrific. Is he going to be a Saint? Is he going to be a Steeler? Do you? What do you care about this?
Well, I know that Sheck says people don't understand the salary cap, but from what I could tell, the Saints also just keep kicking it down the road. So you know what? Why not? Come on, we're paying. We got everybody else paying 25% of everybody else's other 25% of the cap is on other teams for the New Orleans Saints. So break. Come on, yeah. The more the merrier. We'll all be washed up in New Orleans. Come on, it'll be fun. I don't know
how the numbers work, check, but they cut Zeke. You know, obviously they put the franchise tag on Tony Pollard. There's a couple guys out there still that you don't have to give a lot of money to. There's a Kareem Hunt. I think like Damian Harris is out there, you know, like injury threats and stuff like that. But if you got the 1-2 punch, wouldn't be bad with Pollard to team them with any of those guys.
Yeah, that's fine. And by the way, I continue to say now, you know, again, capologists can, talk me out of this. They're smarter about these things than I am. But the first round running back thing, people will tell you it really gets my brain gets fuzzy when people explain to me why it doesn't work to do. But I think if you consider yourself a contending team and you want a finishing piece, a difference maker in an all offense league, I think drafting a running back in the first round is fine. The Cowboys kind of proved that with Zeke. Look at the banner years. They were a player three away from making some hay a couple of times with Zeke right. as the featured runner there. The problem is don't give him a second contract. If you tag him, that's one thing, but the long-term deals through this millennium have not worked out. Derrick Henry almost disproved it, but he ultimately hasn't. Do not sign a running back. And I know a lot of people who are Chargers fans are probably bummed right now about Austin Eckler. It would make no sense for the Chargers to pay him out in a big way. I like Robinson going from Texas, not like, you know, Earl Campbell many generations ago went to the Houston Oilers. I like Robinson going to the Dallas Cowboys here as a finishing piece for that team. Think about you sprinkle that guy in there. Tony Pollard isn't an every down back, right? So you have to get somebody in the draft. I think that one makes all the sense in the world to me. What a hit that would be is if you take the Longhorn and he becomes a Cowboy.
And I don't I don't know. I'm not sure. Where is he supposed to go? I wouldn't blanketly say no running backs first round ever, because there's different first rounds, right? There's top five like Zeke and Leonard Fournette would go. And then there's the teams you're talking about, typically in the 28 to 32 range. You were that close. You're drafting late in the first round for a reason, because you made the final four or the last three weekends of the
playoffs. I don't know. People say that, but Leonard Fournette, a bad pick for the Jags. I mean, we could talk about the Lamar Jackson thing and all that, but I think, you know, Leonard Fournette made hay on his rookie deal, specifically in his rookie season,
sure,
and really boosted them to a near Super Bowl run. I don't think it's a problem to go high in the first round on a running back if you perceive yourself to be a team that has a shot at getting to the Super Bowl.
I think the big thing is he's got to be a guy who also can catch passes. Like taking a Christian McCaffrey, a guy can go split out into the slot every so often, or Alvin Kamara split out into the slot, or Tony Pollard, for example, split out to the slot and go check up on a linebacker and run an in and out route or something like that. That's to me is the key. If you're drafting a stone-handed guy in the first round and you're expecting him to just be out there first, second, third down, run left, one right, run center. Good luck.
I think Leonard Fournette ran too many in and out routes, and it's not the kind you're talking about there, Martin. But listen. All right. So for instance, David Montgomery, 3 years, $18 million. You don't want to break the bank for someone like that, but that's the kind of guy you need, right? I think he gets about 800. You look at his last few years, 5 or 6 touchdowns, about 800 yards rushing, about 300 yards receiving. Great. Don't give him a lot of money. And, it's not going to be guaranteed that $18 million. I guess like 10 or 11 is guaranteed. That's a perfect number for a guy like that. That's kind of what we're dealing with. And It's so funny because Jerry Jones says the owners can learn a lot from me. I think they did with the Zeke Elliott signing. They learned a lot from it. It's never going to happen
David
again.
And David Johnson. It goes on and on. There are so many examples that prove you should not be signing long-term second contracts with these running backs. But Sal, I mean, I talk about like it's all over the place what's happening in NFL free agency. You haven't even celebrated here on this show that you got the NFL Defensive Player of the Year from what? Three years ago, Stephon Gilmore?
I like it. I was just going to get to it. Yes. And like people like, oh, he's old. But I'm looking at any rankings and all you could ask for is that your guy is ranked in the top 20, 25%. He's a top five corner still. There's not 1,000 corners, right? Mm-hmm. There's not 12 corners. There's only a few starters. There's two for each team. Okay, so out of 60, he's top five by almost every metric. I'll take him, Martin. I'm not going to complain about that. I'll let them figure out the money afterwards.
Well, he had a game-winning interception last year. I think two big plays to win and another big play to win a game that wasn't interception. They had a game-clinching interception last year. Like, I don't understand it. Like, I texted a guy I know in the league. I'm like, I don't understand how Stephon Gilmore is a conditional fifth round pick. Like, he still got it. Like, I think the Cowboys got significantly better in the defensive secondary.
Yeah. It's a salary dump. That's what it is. But what it also does, and they re-signed Donovan Wilson, the tackling machine for them, which is great. That's an underrated signing, and all it adds up to.
And you kept Van Der Esch, despite the Steelers' run at him.
Right. Yes. Right. They're not going to par with Leighton Van Der Esch. But it all amounts to, sorry, Spaghetti, but that Daniel Jones signing was terrible now because he's going to throw for about 40, 50 yards against the Cowboys. I'm sorry. I mean, come on.
Gilmore will be 33 when the season starts. I mean, you're banking on him being full capacity, full speed. I think it's a great move. I told Meatballs yesterday, if I'm an NFL GM and a team calls me, it's like, hey, do you want our kind of pricey veteran for a mid-round pick that's conditional? I would say yes every single time, as long as you could afford it. So bringing Gilmore in for even if he plays a chunk of the season, you know, pretty well, it's a great move for the Cowboys. And I think with all the losses the Eagles have suffered this offseason, I know the Rashad Penny move was nice. I would probably bet on the Cowboys to win the NFC East. So I'm putting that juju on you right now, Sal.
Oh, man. And Slay shown the door. Oh, now they're not going to have a deal. The Eagles and their.
Yeah, it's hard to argue they're going to be as good losing both major coordinators and Slay and Hargrave. And who knows? They still have like five starting free agents to sign, right?
I know
they
got Edwards. Bradbury, and who else? Their defense has been decimated. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So, Spaghetti, while we have you on and in the, you know, in the vein of, you know, prospect blue chipper for a mid-round pick is what you did with Darren Waller, healthy Darren Waller, hopefully, to the Giants for a third round.
It's a great move. Waller, again, up there in age, injury history. I'm not sure how much he wanted to play last year for McDaniels. It just seems like McDaniels to the Raiders was like one of the worst moves in recent memory. Like, no player seemed to really mesh with him. He doesn't really fit the offense either. Whereas Kafka and Dable both, if you look at their track records and the tight ends they played with, they've developed tight ends and have made tight ends better. Obviously, Kafka and Kansas City with Kelsey and Dawson Knox was a Dable creation. So you kind of like that a lot. Dalen Jones needs a vertical downfield threat, and that you have that with an athletic Waller. So it's a move the Giants needed to make for the pick they gave just for Kadarius Toney. I said this on -3. It's like, and I'd rather have going forward Darren Waller for a few seasons than deal with the head case Kadarius Toney. So an awesome job by Joe Shane.
There you go. All right, check. But the trainer has to be good. You have to get a good trainer in there.
I got to say, we've had this debate before with Hushman Zada on down, and he can scoff all he wants, but after QB, which is the essential piece, a cover corner is like right up there with what I want, you know, a dominant left tackle or depending on the philosophical debate, if you'd rather as a quarterback face the pass rush right tackle, but most guys left tackle.
Yeah.
And then after that, I really do think you go, like, if you could tell me, like, you'll have a guy who can take away the other team's best receiver, that would be in my top three must haves more than a wide receiver. Like, what did the Raiders do? They just quadrupled down at pass catcher. Very strange to me.
So you got to stop the pass because everyone's passing more, right? So if you can't do it with an edge rusher,
edge rusher,
you want to make sure they got, yes. the guy who's covered for sure. Now, Martin, let's go to your team. It's got to be mixed emotions for you. Michael Thomas signs a one-year deal with the Saints. It's nice to know that he wants to play football. Right. Jameis signs a year deal with the Saints, but you lose Andy Dalton to the Panthers. I'm trying to get this straight. I didn't have that one written down. Yeah.
Oh no.
So sorry about that, Martin. You're gonna lose. You lose the red rifle.
All right. We got Andy Dalton Jr. right here, Derek Carr. I can't wait. So excited.
Not. Would be fun if he dyed his hair red.
They should. I mean, probably
just
should.
To get in there.
You know. Yeah. You know, when you're in Vegas, you look at the airport, you have to tell me if they still have all the Derek Carr protect our children from child trafficking signs up in the Vegas airport. It's like that.
All right. Tunnel. I'll report back.
But no, I'm not excited at all for the New Orleans Saints right now. As I watch all the defensive linemen that they have just not be able to be signed because they have no cap space. So they just kick it down the road. They act like a team that is about to win a Super Bowl and they're not. Like they have acted like it since they had Drew Brees and Sean Payton. Now, I don't know if anybody in New Orleans has realized, but Sean Payton retired. Now he's coaching in Denver and Drew Brees is on TV or maybe got fired from that job, but he's coaching Purdue now. So these guys are not, they're not there anymore.
I get it. I have a friend who was, you know, was a GM who was, I don't want to brag, but he was, you know, he was a higher up for NFL teams, couple of them. And he's like, no, it wasn't him, but I think he would agree with this, that the Jimmy G move to the Raiders is his worst. He's like, this is my worst sign. I hate this kind of signing. I hate it the most because you're not planning for a Super Bowl with a guy like this, even though he made it to a Super Bowl.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
and exactly I think Martin's feeling the same thing with Derek Carr. It's like, look, let's just sign Lamar Jackson. Like, at least that shows that in the next few years, we're going to make a run at the Super Bowl or at least do one with a straight
face.
Look
at the other quarterbacks in this division. Kyle Trask, Baker Mayfield, PJ Walker.
Baker Mayfield now with Tampa, right?
So then that should equal you being semi-excited, right? You should be the division favorite. Yeah, I agree with you that winning the Super Bowl is going to be tough, but in what remains kind of a soft conference. I mean, I think the clear-cut favorite now is the Niners, even though we don't know who their quarterback's going to be unless it's Sam Darnold. The Saints set up in a bum division to, you know, do all right.
I mean, all right, so if they'll do what Tampa did last year, go 9-8 and get pounded in the first round. Can't wait.
Yeah, well, then you need a little
you
luck
just said
on your
it,
side.
Though,
but
Sal,
I will
you
say.
You said it, though.
Yeah.
This is one of my favorite overarching kind of things. If you are deciding, let's roll with Andy Dalton, you are announcing to your fan base and to the entire locker room, we do not think we can win the Super Bowl this year. Like that, I agree that is a weird gut punch thing. However, I asked on -3 Patriots fan Kevin Hench this question, so now I ask it to you. Would you ultimately, if you're a Patriots fan, now plus 1,000 at best to probably win the AFC East. Now they're going to finish in last place, it would appear. Would you rather have Mac Jones or Jimmy G?
Oh, man.
I mean, at least I'd rather be Jimmy G, right? I'd rather be the Raiders than the Patriots right now.
There's a slight chance you could stick it to Brady if Jimmy G does well with the Patriots, right? I mean, it's many layers removed. And Hench doesn't even like that. He doesn't like when anyone speaks ill of Tom Brady, even though he left them. I do like that argument between you guys. But I think Jimmy G would be the answer. But yeah, Martin, I think if your brother Bri rooting for Derek Carr on the Raiders, I think it's gloomier situation than if you're you rooting for Derek Carr on the Saints because you don't have Patrick Mahomes in that division.
Yeah, and then if the Chargers ever figure it out, you know, that right there is another one. That Justin Herbert,
right.
too. So,
and the Chargers, sure, of course.
Like, I get it. Like, I get that the division is going to be bad. I just don't think that they're doing the best things to try to win it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, they might back into it, but I just like
– long term, yeah.
I mean, Aaron Rodgers is still available. He's still available. Mm-hmm. New York – despite the long list of free agents and, you know, I want Randall Cobb, I want Odell Beckham, I want Braxton Barrett or whoever to play for New York, as he says, Aaron Rodgers, they still have not come to terms. Oh, that guy won 2 MVPs in the last 3 years.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know what?
We can go
get Derek Carr. Lamar Jackson.
Yeah. With the Rodgers stuff. So the Jets signed Lazard because Lazard was on Rodgers' wish list, yeah. right? I don't know how these things become public. They have to become public. Like, I don't know, but it doesn't help an Aaron Rodgers case. He's like, I want Randall Cobb, I want Mercedes Lewis, and I want Lazard. And like, okay. And this, I think, now flies in the face of any time he ever said, and you guys discussed this on Minus Three a little bit, anytime he ever said, what is this? What are they doing? What are they? They're not helping me at receiver. Now, I get he can't put Justin Jefferson and Devontae Adams on his wish list, but these are guys he was stuck with that he was complaining about, right?
Well, I mean, yeah. It's low. I mean, what a gigantic pain in the ass this guy is. I mean, really, yeah. Out of bounds. It's not the same as Tom Brady going to Tampa and saying, I want Gronk, and can you take a run at AB and all that kind of stuff? AB is a finishing piece. This is like, I need all these third tier guys with whom I've won nothing, but I need him to become your savior, your right. Messiah, New York Jets. He's a 40-year-old man who within the last fortnight has talked about, like, I don't know, I might retire. As they always say, I don't know, I've never been out there, but when they talk to football players, they always say, like, it's live out there now. It's real out there. Like, you don't want to be out there standing around. Like, if you're halfway out the door, that's probably not a great situation when guys are running full speed in their 300 pounds trying to smack you. That's bad. This dependence on Randall Cobb. He needs a security blanket. I need my friends with me. Like, are you the savior or are you not? And by the way, the ultimate irony is one place that we know the Jets look to be all set is at wide receiver. Now you're going to saddle them with these unnecessary pieces. It's all crazy. I'm telling you, the only reason at this point that the Jets have to want Aaron Rodgers is because I don't know who the alternative would be now with Jimmy G signed right. and Derek Carr. What else are they going to do? So now they have to go in for
drafting. They're not going to draft. They're not going to trade up to draft. So now, yes. Yeah. He's got them over a barrel. But that said, Martin, I don't think he's getting as much drama as he would have liked out of this, even though he's prolonging it or whatever. But I assume he's the one prolonging it. This was supposed to happen 2 days ago. But sorry, Aaron, it's not working out for you.
Yes, Trey Wingo said it was, you know, it's just a matter of time and he's just drawing it out. It wouldn't shock me if Aaron Rodgers was doing it for ratings, for lack of a better term. Like, he'll probably announce it on Pat McAfee at some point. I think it's like promoting that he was going to be on there today. So maybe it'll happen today. But it's, I wonder though. Like, the thing about the whole wish list that surprises me is weird. Like, they made the point. The Jets have good receivers. The whole point of their quarterback away, right, on offense. That's the whole point. So why would you want to bring, like, Mercedes Lewis, fine. All right, I get it. But Alan Lazard is just a redundancy at that point. Like, I don't see, like, so I, as much as I would love to have Aaron Rodgers be the quarterback for the New Orleans Saints, like the whole way he's going about it in New York, I don't think it's going to be like, it's not looking like it's lining up.
All we hear about is like the Tom Brady. The reason that he wins is because he's all ball. He's 365. Peyton Manning, genius, working the X's and O's. Drew Brees on down. And Aaron Rodgers is in June. And by the way, last person in the world who gives a crap about what kind of drugs you take is Dave Damashek. Go have your fun ayahuasca, no, whatever Jim. Else you want to do. That's your business. But if you're the NFL QB, you're speaking at a, what is he speaking at? In an LSD or like a some kind of thing in June? He's like, I mean, he says he clearly is not worrying about X's and O's and all that crap. And he's 40 now. And I know he won those two MVPs just 18 months ago. But man, when you go off that cliff as a quarterback, it's a severe drop. And, you know, that also could be the case if he's certainly not 100% all in on making the Jets work. And he's busy off speaking, doing like ayahuasca will really open up your third eye. Like that is not helpful at all to the Jets.
I'd be shocked if this wasn't a 1 or 2 year deal, if it went beyond that. Either the Jets are going to be sick of him or he's going to retire and that's going to be that. But back to the receivers for a second, Garrett Wilson is a star. And so if you don't keep that guy at star level, it's on you. It's on you, Aaron Rodgers. Where's my camera? It's on him. He knows it's on him. Yeah. Speaking of Wilson's, real quick, the Dolphins kept Mostert and Jeff Wilson. I think that's pretty big. That I would have loved the Cowboys to get one of those two, but I think they're probably pricier.
That's the one. Hear me now, Sal. That's Dave's springtime special. Miami Dolphins to win the AFC East.
People tell me, JJ, John Jastrzemski's like, you hate the Dolphins because we had that breakout clip of the AFC East odds. And I was like, maybe I do. I just don't think they have. It just would spook me with what's going on
that's
with Tua and the head injuries.
That's
like,
it.
Just
that's
gonna be,
the extent of your concerns.
What do you mean that's it? That's huge.
I'm just saying, but that's it.
That's huge.
Okay, so we're betting on the health of the guy. Like, I hear you.
You always are. You're always betting on the quarterbacks. Martin's got a decent one, and he's not happy. Yeah, typically get
saying home. That is like, yeah, how was the play, Mrs. Lincoln? You know what I'm saying? Like, something happened besides the play. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, he's going to need Tua to be upright and, you know, Will Blackman made the point on Lemon Pepper a few months ago. You got to ask. Shanahan starts all these quarterbacks. McDaniel starts all these quarterbacks. Do they actually hate the quarterback position? The way they run their offense. It's like these guys keep getting hurt.
Right. Yeah, I know. And Sam Darnold, I think he signed since we did a podcast last. So he'll be in there too with the 49ers. I don't know. It might be like a Trading Places type situation with Shanahan. What's going on? Sheck, Steelers signed Patrick Peterson. Real quick, your thoughts. You're like, eh? Like,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
I don't want to be a stinker. To me, I'll take the guy who is just entering his prime and was a big difference maker and not a national brand like Patrick Peterson has been for the last 15 years. Cam Sutton is a capable and Swiss Army knife type of secondary member for those Steelers. But listen, Patrick Peterson is a nice piece if he can maintain his level of play from last year for 2023, and then we'll fix things. Year-to-year league. That's the bottom line, right? That's how I can talk myself into it. And I do think Andy Weidel moving across from the Eagles to the Steelers is really going to beef up the line of scrimmage. You're already starting to see moves in that regard.
Oh, what do you know?
I don't know about them, but I know what they're doing. I just know what area he's looking at, and that's the line of scrimmage. Did you see the moose that they signed? Nate Herwig, I think his name is, coming over. Herbie. He is a big fat man.
Oh, the Steelers.
Yeah, he's a big fat man, and they kept the best name on the Steelers. The two best names. DeMonte Kazee.
Is he gonna punt?
And Larry Hogan Joby.
I like that Ogunjobi. Yeah. All right. So that's a lot of NFL. I mean, for March Madness week. Let's take another quick break and then we'll be back to wrap up.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
All right, so to recap, we like all the free agency signings in the NFL. No, we had some thoughts on that. But Martin is taking Alabama, the permitted favorite, to win it all, to cut down the nets. They're not the favorite. 7-1. Houston is the favorite at 5-1. Martin's got Alabama. Sheck has Arizona at 12-1. And I am going Kansas to repeat at 10-1. Harry and I will be there. Mikey Meatballs. What a busy weekend week for Mikey Meatballs. Anyway, we're going to be in Vegas at the Kimmel Comedy Club Thursday and Friday. We're going to race to 10, betting all the early games with you. Anyone who shows up, you have a chance to win $10 and root and scream like hell for all these teams. We have a lot of fun. Kimmel Comedy Club Thursday and Friday. ExtraPoints.com/arcade. $1,000 to the winner. Mortgage Madness. I will pay your mortgage/rent. For a year, if you complete a perfect bracket through Sunday. Not even
get
the whole
in there,
thing,
Jerry
just two
Jones.
Rounds.
Learn from Sal.
That would be great. What a good way to end it for me. By the way, Mikey Meatballs, you saw that Meatballs is on tour. He's got his brother and sister in town. You went to Crypto, still called Crypto, I think. Islanders, Islanders and Kings. How'd you enjoy it?
I did not enjoy it. I do not like crypto. I do not like the Kings. I don't think I've ever seen the Islanders beat the Kings. But we're going to the Honda Center tonight, so hopefully it's better.
You prefer the Honda Center, right? I think like you did last arena. Year.
I think it sucks.
Hey, did you hear my big announcement? Mikey Meatballs, I'm sure you did. All of Islanders Nation did. They have officially replaced the Philadelphia Flyers in Dave's hate rankings. They are the new number one. After decades of looking up at the Flyers, the Islanders have replaced them. I hate them more than any team in sports. Congratulations,
wow,
Islanders.
A lot of hatred.
I hate them.
Meatballs hates crypto. Shaq hates the Islanders. Islanders are ahead of the... They're ahead of the Patriots?
Yeah, by leaps and bounds. Really? I hate that. They have caused me so much pain in so many different decades, so many different eras. I hate the Islanders. And they have, up until Tuesday night, the three worst losses that the Penguins suffered this year were against those Islanders. But then when they lost to the worst team in the league, the Rouge Blanc et Bleu, giving up four goals in the first round. That's our worst. But anyway, yes, congratulations, Islanders. I hate you.
Well, listen, dude, give it a shot. You ride in. There's room in the car tonight, right? Meatballs, put Sheck in there. You go. Maybe you'll have an appreciation for the Islanders when they're not playing the Penguins, but at the Honda
Center. I like their uniforms. They have good uniforms.
All right. There you go. Martin Weiss, Lemon Pepper Parlay, you and Mark Gunnels. You're going to fill out a bracket. Gunnels would be fun to hand out a cap of consequence. If he comes out on first and you're last, Martin, you better look out. I think there's some secret animosity.
He has been salty about having to do that Jackson Mahomes TikTok for about 365 days at this point. So
he
thinks about it all the time.
Lemon he's pepper KU? Poly, that's on the money grab.
Oh, sorry,
feed.
He's KU though?
Yeah.
Party? I assume. Yeah, right. Okay.
Boy, what a run this would be for him. Chiefs and KU back to back. But he did turn down that you last him last week about Mahomes. What was the question? He asked your question, Shaq.
Yeah. Mahomes, would you rather have Mahomes or a basketball team? And he was like, looked at me like I was stupid. Like, what do you mean?
Mahomes gets taken. He gets a basketball team in Kansas City if Mahomes is deleted
and
from the roster.
And he said what? He said Mahomes?
Yeah.
He said Mahomes.
Like, I'd much rather have the quarterback that's been to five straight AFC championships.
Really? I kind of, if at this point, if you did it right now in March of 23, like, all right, Patrick Mahomes has delivered a couple of Lombardies. All right, listen, that was a lot of fun. Give me a basketball team for the rest of the time now.
Yeah, well, long term, you're talking 7 years from now, right? I mean, I guess the question gets different and different as the years progress. But yeah, wouldn't you want a basketball team in your hometown?
Yes,
you can have one and the other one will never happen, Sal. You get the Metropolitans, a World Series, or the Cowboys, a Lombardi.
Oh, man. When does this
anytime?
When does it
I'm
happen?
Just telling you. Well, OK, let's say in the next 10 years. But either way.
Yeah, because I think I want it to happen a little down the road because then I don't have anything to root
just before
for.
You die. I guess like all the Red Sox fans who promised that they were going to die after the Red Sox won. And then 3 months later, started belly aching about the Red Sox.
Mets
number one.
Give me a championship. Yeah. Give me the Mets. What about you? Islanders lose every game.
That's one of those ones which of my teams, you know, I'm more emotionally invested in more teams than you are probably. It ebbs and flows. Mm-hmm. All
it's
of them.
Not easy.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to not see anybody not. Eddie Spaghetti is texting us.
Spaghetti, Jeff, what is this going? So Rogers is on McAfee
He's
right now.
He's acting a fool.
What nonsense do we hear?
Is he?
What's going on?
Yeah, I'm watching this live now. It's hard to hear both, but he's basically crapping on the Packers, saying that they started to shop him secretly, going pre-darkness retreat. He was 90% going to retire. He said that his decision was made days ago today. It wasn't like the day he made the decision. It sounds like he's pretty angry with the organization.
What a surprise. He's blaming people for stuff.
I think this is Antonio Brown. I think gets a bad rap. I think this is the craziest MF we've seen related to the NFL in the last decade.
What a weirdo.
What a lunatic. Oh, pre-darkness, but dark. Oh, then he need a little darkness. Now he's going to go to the Jets, but maybe. But I'm not going to announce it.
Well, I guess coming out of that darkness, he probably had to switch it up a little bit after I saw the bill that he had for sitting in the dark room for 4 days straight. Oh, I'm sure it was exorbitant.
What was it? I didn't say
I saw the website. That place, it ain't no $150 a night. I know that.
There are different ways to skin the cat.
I don't
want to
pay that
mortgage. There are different ways. Peyton Manning won Super Bowls. Tom Brady won Super Bowls. Ben Roethlisberger won Super Bowls. But Aaron Rodgers went and pooped in the dark for 4 days. This is your quarterback. I don't care what kind of drugs you take. I don't care what you do for fun or to open your mind or whatever else. But is this definitely the guy that you want when you talk about like the commitment to the playbook and leader of man, all that? Like, that's the guy. It just doesn't sound.
No, I'm sure they're having their doubts, but they're stuck. We all agree.
By the way, nobody needs my answer.
I want to watch this.
I'm going to go with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Yeah. If it has to be for the rest of time. I've gotten five cups from the Penguins, so I buy a whisker. I'm going to go with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
All right. All right. And Martin's going to say the Derek Carr led.
No, he's not. He's going to say the Michigan Wolverines football, right?
Mm. No. Oh. If I could change anything, if I would go back and do anything, I would make Nicole Roby Coleman miss the tackle on Tom Lee Lewis that should have been pass interference and just kick the Saints would have won the Super Bowl that year, and I'll never forget it.
Yeah.
I'll never forgive Bill Vinovich for blowing it in the moment and not throwing a flag. I'll never forgive it. I would trade so much for that one moment. I'm so positive.
I'm going to see if I can work that out.
That was going to be a trade. That was going to be a second ring. And when you get that second ring, it puts you in a different category and a different up echelon. Anybody can get one. Joe Flacco got one, but you can get two. That changes the game.
The
thing with that Super Bowl was that Super Bowl was so bad. And like, oh my God, if we could have just seen Chiefs Saints or any combination of anything except what we're seeing right now with the Patriots Rams. And those games were so, you're not going to get closer championship games that really could have swung the other way.
Glass half full though, consider this, that if Brett Favre didn't Brett Favre in overtime, Drew Brees wouldn't have even gotten to a Super Bowl. Then he'd be 21st century Dan Fouts.
That's right. All right. Spaghetti, his intention is to play for the Jets. Oh, wow. We're getting somewhere. This is interesting.
His intention.
Right. I'm going to go. Let's check this out. Lemon Pepper Parlay, Martin Weiss, Mark Gunnell, Sheck. It's you and it's Hench and Spaghetti. And you got another one coming up tomorrow. Check out Megan Fun of Sports. Check out Laugh Lines, Against All Odds, Covered in Glory. Against All Odds, we're going to pick the round one games of the Thursday highlights, Final Four, all that stuff coming up. A reminder to everyone out there, you may feel like underdogs, but please remember, you're all my favorites.